Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, April the 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is a live program. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and as is our custom on Mondays, we like to look at a reading for the following Sunday. That is the fifth Sunday of Easter. And during the Sunday of Easters, there is not an Old Testament reading. It's replaced by a reading from the book of Acts. This week it's Acts 8, 26 to 40. The epistle is from 1 John 4, beginning with verse 1. And the gospel is from John chapter 15. We're going to take a look at 1 John 4, beginning with verse 1. It reads, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Now, the word spirit here refers to individual human beings. Some have an old spirit. That is, what they are saying is not from God. And others have the new spirit. That is the fulfillment of the verse that King David wrote, "Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit." So when you hear someone doing theology, you are to test whether they are from God. For verse 1 continues, "For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, what is a false prophet? A false prophet is an individual who does not speak from God. I enjoy going to the computer and listening to other theologians. It may be through a worship service they're having, or singing, or this kind of thing. And I rarely hear about Christ crucified and risen from the dead. They're always talking about the law, how we need to obey the law so God will bless us. That is a false prophet. Because you are blessed after baptism or coming to faith with many blessings that God gives you because the Holy Spirit is within you. Verse 2, after you have checked out whether the pastor or individual doing theology is from God or not, it says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." So there's one example. Of course, in Jesus' day, many people believed that Jesus was not from God. He may have been a powerful person doing miracles, but unbelieving Pharisees often accused him of doing miracles at the hand of Satan. Yes, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, they said it was from Satan that had occurred. which really makes no sense. But that's what they would confess. So they did not believe that Jesus was from God. In fact, that's one of the main reasons they crucified him, because it was clear that Jesus said he was from God, and that therefore was blasphemy in the eyes of the unbelievers. Going on to the next verse. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Now, Antichrist means against Christ or the false Christ. Now, the false Christ, of course, is referring to the devil himself. If you remember in Genesis, the devil told Adam and Eve, "No, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will not die. You will become like God." And of course, he deceived them. They ate and fell into sin. This is how all temptation works. Temptation from the devil always sounds better than the commands and promises from God. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. And there are false prophets who are beholden to the devil for what they say. Verse 4, little children. Now, this is John, of course, writing to people. John writes about many things that people are sinning, and therefore in Christ, the Antichrist, false teachers. And he talks about that through his first letter. Going on, the Antichrist, they are from the world, therefore, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So now we have another distinction between the true prophets and the false prophets. The true prophets speak by the Holy Spirit, and the false prophets speak by the spirit of error, the devil itself. Now, this is a very, very important passage because it really helps us to understand who are we to listen to. It says we're to listen to God's word. God's word does not come about by people inventing religions. As we've said many times, take a look at the false religions that have been created by the minds of men, and you will find that the gods they worship are really figments and imagination of themselves. Their gods think and act like they as human beings think and act. In contrast to the Holy Trinity, who does not think and act like we do, but thinks and acts in ways that are mysterious, seems to be even contradictory, but they are not. So, John is writing to the churches, indicating to watch out for false prophets. And the way to do so, when you hear a prophet or preacher, check out what he says on the basis of the Bible. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been from of God and knows God. Now that's a really important point to make in our society, because we hear a number of people talking about, well, they love someone. In fact, many divorces occur because people fall out of love. That is an emotional love. It is not the love from God. When Jesus was on the cross, he showed love to all people. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That's true love. If you have two people living together but not married, that's not true love. That's a selfish love. That's a love that wants to get what they want. I'm just always surprised how women can be caught in that web of deceit. They get to love a man they think who's really nice to them and therefore begins to live with him. That is either adultery or fornication, and therefore God will not bless that union. And that's why a number of the women get beaten up, controlled by the man, etc., because there is not true love. True love is agape love, not erotic love. Erotic love always fails. So, if you truly love someone, then you have been born of God and know God. Born of God. That's what John says, reminding us of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You must be born again. Nicodemus thinks, how do I get back in my mother's womb? But Jesus says, no, by water and the Spirit. That's referring to salvation, by baptism, or by hearing the word of God from missionaries, etc., and coming to faith in what the word of God says. That's what it means to be born of God. So if somebody asks you, were you to die tonight, would you be saved? The answer is, well, yes, because I have been born of God. Now, how do you get born of God? Well, there's two kinds of children. There's begotten children and adopted children. From God's point of view, there's only one begotten, and that's Jesus Christ. But all Christians are adopted, brought into the family of God by means of the sacrament of holy baptism or by hearing the word of God. Verse 8, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So the word love is really misused by many people. They think when I say, I really love that person, that they're talking about their emotions. but love is an attitude that promises certain things, like in a wedding, that you will love whether good or bad, and that you will not leave a person. Therefore, you just can't understand how someone is going to divorce his spouse because he says, I no longer love her. That's a breaking of the marriage covenant. Verse 9. In this, namely the love of God, was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might love through him. What a difference. Yes, when you're in a situation that you think you're losing the love of someone, remember the cross of Christ. He certainly could have lost love for you. He could have come down from the cross and refused to die for our sins. But Jesus did not. He remained on the cross, and when he said, it is finished, he had completed all the work of being our substitute in dying for our sins. He died so that we might never die, that at the very point of our earthly death, our spirit is taken to heaven, awaiting the day of judgment. So, verse 9, the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might love through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is really important, because in every religion in the world, the opposite is taught. You first love God, and then he rewards you with salvation. That is false teaching. You are not rewarded because of your works of love. Instead, God first loved you. And when you come to realize that, then the Holy Spirit creates love in your heart because of the love that Jesus had at the cross. Verse 10 says, God first loved us. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, we've seen Jesus. He became a human being. The closest that they saw him as God would be the Mount of Transfiguration, where he lit up with great light. But that isn't true God in the sense of what he looks like. We'll know that after the day of judgment. The God that we have never seen refers to God the Father. The most that even Moses saw was his backside on the Mount of Sinai. But if we love one another with the kind of love that Jesus gives to us, agape, unselfish love, that shows that God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Now, you may not necessarily feel that. There may be times that you wonder, has God left me? Is he quiet? Is he on vacation? But the fact is, remember your baptism, because in baptism, he makes a promise. You are baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which means you are adopted by God. It means he has also given you the Holy Spirit, which he promised to do to the disciples. Verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Boy, that's a great verse to copy, put on a poster in your church, because it shows the relationship of the Father to the Son and reminds us of chapters in the Old Testament, like in Daniel, where God sends his beloved Son into the world to redeem the world and save them from their sins. And of course, people saw that when Jesus died on the cross. Verse 14, and we have seen and testify the Father has sent his Son to be the Spirit Savior of the world. Whoever confesses, notice, not whoever is obedient, but whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. That's the essence of Christianity, that you are saved through faith in confessing that Jesus is God who died for our sins, and therefore that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Wow. God is love. And that is shown by his sending his only begotten Son. And verse 17, this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is so also are we in this world. What we're talking about is we are like Jesus in this world. We show love that we get from the Holy Spirit given to us by Jesus, because of his perfection on the cross and the way we were justified by grace through faith, not by works, lest anyone would boast. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Many Christians still fear that they're not going to go to heaven because they realize they are great sinners. But Jesus comes and casts out that fear because he has paid for our sin. You have done nothing to be saved, but you have received the faith the Holy Spirit gives. So verse 19, we love because he first loved us. So if anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, that's another Christian. He is a liar, for he does not love his brother whom he has seen. He cannot love God whom he has not seen. So that's what the love of Christ does. It gets us to love one another and treat one another according to the commandments, giving to others what Christ has given to us, and that is his love. And it is a Christian love, not a selfish love. Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And that occurs not because we're trying to obey the commandments to be saved. That occurs because of God's love for us first. What a wonderful passage to show us the life of sanctification. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we'll take a look at the hymn, At the Lamb's High Feast, we sing. I'm Tom Baker. You've been listening to Law and Gospel. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.